Hey, everybody. My name's Dane.
And I'm Jimmy.
And our podcast is called Bubbling Questions.
We do would-you-rathers from listeners and a Twitter bot.
Along with one-person game shows using ridiculous stuff we find on the internet.
Like, what kind of dick are we talking?
I shall not tell you.
Okay. All from our very real hot tub.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Very real. Not a gimmick at all. Find Bubbling Questions wherever you get podcasts.
And I'm Jimmy.
Hey, this is the Escapist Comics Podcast. I'm Jacob Rubin.
I'm Jessica Baldoni.
And we're just starting.
We're back. Again.
We're in it. Yeah, this is another one. We're back again. Yeah, this is the podcast that doesn't die.
It doesn't. It never dies. We'll keep bringing it back from the grave.
Yeah. No so, pandemic, okay. Nor lockdown, nor nothing can keep this show, nor cross-country moves, nothing.
So thanks show, for listening and staying.
The show soldiers on. Yeah, thanks for listening. Do you want to get into the Future State comics first?
Yeah, and sorry you guys that we're like a little late on the beginning of Future State. We'll try to catch up. There's only 9,000 Future State books to read and talk about.
Jesus, really?
Oh my God, yeah. I have a couple more that I've read from this week, but there's like, I think a stack sitting on my dining room table right now that I have to read still. So, but we'll talk about the first week right
here's
now.
Here's my question. What does this have to do with Dark Knight's death metal?
They reformed the world, I guess, or something. I'll talk about a little bit when we talk. So we're going to talk about the first Wonder Woman book, and then there's a second Wonder Woman book that came out this week, which I'll talk about.
Okay.
And there's like a little bit, I guess, from that, but I don't know, honestly. There was another book coming or came out that was called like Generations Shattered. And I think that explained some of it. But it was like $10 and like a book. It was literally like a book that you had to read after Dark Knight's Death Metal 8.
I don't want to do any reading just so I can do some reading.
Exactly. And it was like 9 different artists.
I just want to read. You're going to make me read?
I just don't want to read that much about death metal because I don't care.
Yeah, like every one of these stories. So there's 3 stories in the Batman book. And there's 3 in the Superman of Metropolis book. And every one of them has like a little blurb that's the same copy text. And it says, spinning out of the events of death metal, this happens. And I read death metal, or more accurately, I looked at the pages of death metal. And I feel like I had a pretty good idea of like, this is sort of the story that this is.
Right.
But I don't know how in any way like the Batman Who Laughs or any of the crazy shit that happens at all ties into this, unless it's just saying that like, because that happened, it created an alternate timeline and this is that timeline.
I'm pretty sure that's what it is. I'm percent sure.
Well, they didn't need to like put out a whole series to explain Stan Lee imagines the or DC 1 million or any of those other like things. They could just say, hey, we're doing a thing in the future.
Yeah.
And people would get it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think this is their way of just getting people to buy a thing because death metal was so popular, right? So they're like, well, death metal was popular, so you'll like this, right? Buy it. Sure. You want to spend $9 on this Future State Batman book? Because
I did like that it was a good long developed story. Mm-hmm. With no ads.
No
ads.
That's
kind of cool.
True. However, there are 3 stories in it.
Yeah.
It's not just
including the Nights one, which was like gibberish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I expect when I'm buying a Batman book that it's going to be a Batman book, not a Batman book, a Suicide Squad book, and another Suicide Squad book, kind of. What is it, like 2? Or no, Outsiders book. That's what it
was. Outsiders, which is like, I mean, it's really a Katana story featuring Black Lightning. Mm-hmm. And then Arkham Knights, which I, as far as I can tell, is an entirely new concept.
Yeah, I guess so. But it's sort of Suicide Squad-y.
Right? Yeah, because they're all bad guys. It's like Dr. Phosphorus and Two-Face. What does Two-Face bring to the party? How does Two-Face help in like a covert or not like a military operation?
Yeah, I think we've talked about
Two-Face,
this
we have to go
before.
Fight, and he's like flipping his coin.
Yeah, huh? I think we've talked about like this with Two-Face before. Like, he's just going to be erratic. He is no help.
Yeah.
He's going to talk politics sometimes, maybe.
I've said this on the show before. Two-Face is a great character for like one, maybe two stories. And then it's like, why is he around?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I don't know. Two-Face, not my favorite, unfortunately.
One of the coolest looking Batman villains.
Absolutely. Yeah. Great design. Yeah.
Especially if you give him like the cool suit or whatever.
Oh, the split suit?
The split suit, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like sometimes people don't do that. They just like, it's just the only thing about him is his face. Like his armor in this Arkham Knights thing, it's just the regular armor that everyone else is wearing. The only way you know he's Two-Face is because his head's popping out. And only like that one, there's a few panels where I was like, is that Two-Face or is it just a handsome guy who we can't see all of him?
I also hate when they give him that super purpley face, and that's what they have in this one. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the Batman story first.
Sure.
The John Ridley is the writer and Nick Darrington does the art, colors by Tamara Bonvillain. Beautiful art, first of all.
I think this is, out of all of these books, except maybe Wonder Woman, which we'll get to later, this is my favorite art in all these titles.
Yeah, it's amazing. And the storytelling in this, I really liked. I actually really enjoyed the story in this one as well.
Yeah, this one was cool. I think this set things up really well. It's a bit more of a gritty, down-to-earth Batman. Like,
yeah,
it's street criminals who are using a Bane aesthetic. Sure, I'm on board.
Yeah.
I didn't like that it, at points, it seemed like this writer didn't... What do we know about John Ridley? Is he
I think he might be a book writer.
Is he a white person?
No?
Question. Okay, okay.
I'm pretty sure he's not. I know this is some great investigative reporting we're doing right now. But I'm again 90% sure he's not.
he is a black man. He wrote 12 Years a Slave. Oh my God.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, I knew that. Cool. It was in my brain.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because some of this dialogue, I was like, because I don't know, I was like, is this really, it really seemed like white guy writing black people's dialogue. But I'm glad to know that it's not that. I was wrong. It was racist of me to assume that it was a white person writing this comic. Mm-hmm. And I think it's cool that DC is like, we're going to have a black Batman and we're not just going to get Jeff Johns or whatever.
Thank God.
Jeff Johns, that's a whole other kettle of fish.
Yeah, let's not get into that right now.
There's a photo of me with my arm around him at Comic-Con when I was like 17. I gotta scrub that from the internet before I get canceled.
It'll never be scrubbed.
Not just because I'm wearing a trench coat and I look like the fucking Unabomber, but
so I really like that they bring like the Fox family into this. That it's were you a little confused about which brother it was that was Batman?
No, it's the one who was the clean-shaven one.
It is the okay. That was my one issue. I was like, I wasn't sure if it was the non-clean shaven one or the scruffy one. Cause I was like, that makes sense if it's either of them.
Yeah, I mean, you can't see Batman's mouth in this costume. It's
exactly,
good that
that's what I thought. I was like, maybe it's a mystery.
Yeah. No, I think it's
also so short too. The story's so short. I was like, you know, that I was like left wondering at the end that maybe that they would take us to it later. I just thought wasn't very clear.
Maybe it's a straight up misdirect and they want us to think that it's him.
Yeah.
And like, wasn't that a thing in the first
Batman Returns.
Sure.
It was Catwoman. She was Batman.
the very, very first Batman story, the, you know, the original Bob Kane, Bill Finger, Detective 27, where Bruce Wayne is barely in it, and it's mainly following Commissioner Gordon and like this other guy, and I think that we're supposed to be the other guy, and then sort of the twist is that it's right. Bruce Wayne, which now is not at all like, so this is, hey, maybe that's this.
Maybe that'd
be a cool, that'd be a cool reference that I haven't seen anyone do with a Batman story since 1939.
That actually would be really cool if he did do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. As for the other stories in this, I wasn't too excited. The Katana story was like, meh. Though I did really like, the art was cool for sure. This is the guy who used to work with Romvi. If I could remember his name, that would be really helpful. It's probably somewhere in the back of this comic, I'm sure. At the very end? I don't know. Anyways, they're in the very center of the comic. He does like this really cool, like, what's that movie with all of the fighting in it? When they,
oh boy, I don't know.
The one where they like go all the level, like he go on the warehouses where he goes fighting through all the levels.
I don't remember, but I also was drawn to this 2-page spread. And I thought it was a very cool storytelling style that you can only really do in comics. And I guess maybe like the video game Donkey Kong.
It is like Donkey Kong. That's the movie I was thinking of.
Right. The theatrical adaptation of 1982's Donkey Kong video game starring Jumpman. However, it did make me think, when does a building ever have stairs where you have to run across the building to go from floor to floor?
Never.
That's not a thing. Never. Yeah. I was looking. I was like, "This is dope. This could sell us a poster. People would totally put this poster up, or something similar. You know, like maybe not this exact frame, like, but just the way that this thing moves is really, really cool. But also, like, this is not how people make buildings."
No. Maybe I'm pretty sure this artist is from India. Maybe they're like that in India. We don't know. Have you been?
Sure. Yeah. No, I haven't. I loved the point where she falls through the floor.
Yeah.
To get it. Yeah. Like, this is an amazing. I wish this had been the dead center of a comic, and I feel like somebody.
The Raid. That's the name of the movie.
Oh, The Raid. Okay.
Yep. That was the movie.
That was the movie. So, and then I thought this Katana story was, like, cool. I mean, Katana's a character that you can basically always just start a story with, like, this is Katana, her sword traps your soul in it.
Yeah.
Great. Right?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I was never too familiar with her. I never read her solo series in the New 52.
Sure.
And so I thought, like I said, I thought the art was cool. I like that they brought Black Lightning in. And I like that he's cool. I like that he's in her sword. You know, that's pretty neat.
I like that he's literally, is he in her sword?
I think so, right?
Because he came down from the sky.
Oh, maybe he's not. I thought he was.
And then I thought he was too.
Yeah.
But then he like appeared from the sky to protect her. And then, she hit him with the sword.
Yeah, he like takes her sword from her.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know. Maybe he's not in her sword.
I don't think he is. The way that I read it, it really makes it seem like he is, especially because they're about to reveal, like, she's talking to the sword,
right?
To reveal like what's about, like, oh, he thinks that my husband's in the sword. And he thinks he understands everything, but he's about to learn something. And then Black Lightning shows up, and I'm like, oh, that's probably what that's probably what she was talking about. But then she's also surprised.
I guess it's a little confusing too, and maybe this is a storytelling problem, is she's like using her sword and it's all lit up like lightning. And then literally the next page, lightning cracks and like he comes out of the sky.
Yeah, and when he grabs the sword, they're almost, this page right here, the final page of the story, he's literally the same color as the sword.
Yeah. So that's a little bit of a storytelling problem, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's still, you know, it's still kind of cool. But again, I think this is the problem with this format that they're using, that like these stories are really short, so they feel a little bit incomplete. Yeah. And they're doing this for the next, I guess these are just like 2-issue comics like this. And I know it's just to introduce this whole future state that they're doing for the next 3 months. And then they're going to have like a little series, like 6 issues mm-hmm. or something like that. But like, yeah, the next Batman number 2 is out this week.
Okay.
So maybe they'll clean that up a little bit. So.
And I love The Outsiders. I was a big fan of the series that they were doing when it was Nightwing and Fake Metamorpho and Arsenal and them, like after the Teen Titans, when they did like the Teen Titans Young Justice split.
Mm-hmm.
And I read and growing up, I had a bunch of the ones from the 70s with like Geo-Force and Black Lightning and Katana and them.
Yeah.
Halo, I thought Halo was super cool. So, like, I'm down with a new Outsider series. I just wish that they would figure out what they were instead of just, like, club of characters.
Right. Yeah, they've never totally been clear on that.
Well, like, when it was Batman says, go get fucked to the Justice League and starts his own team of, like, weirdo and also-rans. Okay, great. Batman leaves. Okay, sure. The group still has something of an identity, but, like, what makes them different than, like, the Justice League or the Teen Titans or any of that. I just don't know what that is.
Yeah, I don't either. All right, moving on. Let's get through this mess of Superman of Metropolis.
So first of all, even though I can't say I liked this book, I think that the premise is very, very cool.
Okay. Yeah, it's interesting. So it's basically Jonathan Kent, right? Who is half human and half Kryptonian.
He's not Clark and Lois's son.
Yes.
He is. Okay.
Clark and Lois's son.
And he has all the Kryptonian powers.
He does have all the Kryptonian powers. I don't know if he's as strong, though, as Superman.
Sure.
I don't think he is. And he has this weird Brainiac ball with him who kind of looks like, what were those things called? Those little squishy balls.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Were they just called oddballs?
I think so. That sounds right.
There's a reference to them in the Ready Player One movie where he throws one into like a giant robot and it explodes.
Yeah.
And it's like, it was an 80s or 90s toy.
Definitely a 90s toy, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, basically, Ready Player One is so 80s.
Yeah. I mean, they could totally make, if DC still made like fun toys for kids, they would totally make a toy like this. But now the only kids' toys they make are like Superman and Batman.
Yeah. They're starting to make better toys. They actually have a whole line of like DC Supergirl toys.
Okay.
Which are really cool. They sell them at Target.
Right.
But yeah, those are really nice. And not just like Barbie-like too.
Okay, that's cool.
So, yeah. And you know, actually I can see this as like a fun comic for not just for like kids too. This is like
this a comic?
Good, yeah. I could give this to like a 12-year-old boy. Actually, and totally, or girl too, and has Supergirl in it, you know, and not just like a comic for adults. Like this,
and it's got some kind of funky morality because he shrinks Metropolis and turns it into a bottle city, like the bottle city of Kandor. And it's not like Brainiac did it or this did it. No, straight up, Jonathan Kent, the Superman of Metropolis, shrank Metropolis to save it.
Right,
and that's like, is that good or bad? This raises a lot of questions. I felt like it was a good idea at the time. I think that if I woke up one morning in the city that I lived in, if like somebody just took LA and put it in a domed thing and hid it in their house, I'd be like, oh, but I would like to leave that, you know, but I'm protected. So it's, that was the Simpsons movie. So it's
The dome.
The dome. So I think that there's some really cool stories that could be generated from this. It looks like the rest of the comic is about the other superheroes of Metropolis and how they're dealing with it.
Right.
So I think that this sets up a really cool, I think that's, it's a really a dope idea for an arc, and it could be good or it could be crappy. I'm you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I just feel like the dome has been done so many times, kind of like you said, like Simpsons and the dome. And yeah. But yeah, if they can make it new and interesting, it definitely, like you said, it could be good.
Yeah, I think that it could be, it definitely could be bad, or they definitely could just like chicken out and like only do it for a few issues and then go, never mind. Like, but I, what I like is that it's a choice. I just like that they made a bold choice.
Right. As for the backup stories, I wasn't too impressed. There's like a Mr. Miracle backup story and then the Guardian.
I liked the art, but that's about it.
Yeah. So I can never get on board with Michael Oeming's art. I'm just not a fan. Sorry, Michael Oeming.
Yeah, and like also the artist, it was Cully Hammer for the first half and then suddenly it changed to Michael Avon Oeming.
Oh yeah. That's true. Maybe just
yeah, that's how they credit it.
It's three pages of art done.
Yeah.
That crossover comic is also doing the dome right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's like, so many domes. All right, let's move on to Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman, which is probably my favorite all around of these three.
Yeah. Well, first of all, it's like the only complete story, like one comic.
Yeah.
It's just a comic. Thank you for having a full story, Wonder Woman.
I understand that you like that it's a single story, but I love me a good backup story. I like, you know, the 70s, 60s and 70s, because when I was doing the vintage, I was like, oh, it's cool. You get like a full Green Lantern story and then like eight pages of the Firestorm or whatever. So I think that that's pretty neat. I just wish the stories themselves would have been better. This, if they'd done like a backup, like, hey, a Wonder Girl, or I don't know, who else hangs out in the Wonder Woman universe?
Well, we do get that. I'll talk about that in a second for Wonder Woman, or Immortal Wonder Woman. But it's actually a full story and a backup story.
Okay.
Yeah. So
yeah, these really felt like teasers.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah. I'd like, especially for a first issue, I would like a full story and then maybe like a three-page backup story, you know, something like that. Something like I can like actually like, you know, sink my teeth into, get to know this character and then like have a backup. But, you know, I need some more information to know if I want to keep buying this comic. But yeah, okay. So Future State Wonder Woman is, I think it's all just... Joelle Jones and then Jordi Belair does the colors, and that is
beautiful exciting. Colors.
It's absolutely gorgeous. And this is a new Wonder Woman
who it seems like she's not entirely pulling her power from the Greek pantheon.
No, maybe
like she's fighting a Hydra and there's a Pegasus, which are definitely Greek things, but like, she's in the Amazon rainforest. She's in South America.
Right.
Unless they're saying that like Paradise Island has had a rainforest this entire time. Which like maybe, I don't know.
I think she's just hanging out there. I mean,
that's a deep, and then she goes down to the underworld, but like this doesn't feel super like it feels like they're, I think that it's, if it is what I think it is, it's a very cool idea, and that they're just saying like, what if Wonder Woman was essentially the same character, but instead of being pulled from Greek myth, it was other mythological sources?
Maybe. I mean, I just, you know, she's just another Amazonian, right? Or she just, and she's just taking up the mantle. I mean, in the Immortal Wonder Woman too, there's just several other Wonder Womans as well, so I think it's just lots of Wonder Womans.
Almost like Promethea.
Right. Yeah.
Well, like there's Wonder Woman is a cool character because she, you know, like, yes, her entire origin and many of her great, great stories are tied to Greek legend.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the things that people think about Wonder Woman, the lasso of truth, the invisible plane, her all-American costume, aren't necessarily Greek things. So, and also the name Wonder, it's not like her name is, you know, super Athena or whatever.
Right.
and her weapon in this is like a, like the Lasso of Truth, but with these balls on the end, so she can use it as like a concussive, like a mace thing.
Right. She does still have like this big star on her. She has like an armor plate on her shoulder, and she does still have like a big star right there. Maybe to still like, you know, have the homage to the original Wonder Woman. But what's interesting is if when we go to Immortal Wonder Woman, I mean, Diana's still around. So it's not like she's replacing Diana.
Why wouldn't she?
Yeah. So she's just another Wonder Woman in the area helping out. And this is just like an adventure book too. She's just having like her own adventure, which I like. It's not like tying in really yet anyways to the whole big gigantic DC mess that's going on. As far as I can tell, she's just like in the underworld, like trying to get something from Hades, right?
Yeah, they don't really say what.
They don't say what, but she has an awesome battle with like Cerberus at the end. She's fighting like lost souls. Like, it's a really fun book. It has absolutely gorgeous art.
In her attempts to trick her way into the underworld, she ends up having to fight a sumo wrestler and a bunch of other dead people.
Yeah. And I am.
And she yells Alala, which I think is their onomatopoetic way of doing the Xena noise.
Yeah, I think so. little throat Xena.
Hey, you know.
Good time.
I sense a lot of Xena in this particular. I mean, Xena. I think Xena already is kind of borrowing a lot of ideas from Wonder Woman and vice versa. More contemporary Wonder Woman comics probably borrow from Xena.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
I mean, Lucy Lawless should have been Wonder Woman at some point, for sure.
Oh my God. She should, like, she could still be, oh God, what's her mom's
name? An Amazon?
Well, yeah, an Amazon, of course, but I was thinking specifically Wonder Woman's mom.
Oh no. Starts with a C. Yes,
Hippolyta.
I was thinking of, oh, she could be Cersei's though.
Yeah, that's true. Or that if they do a Kingdom Come movie. Ooh,
that would be awesome. Oh my God, my dog.
With John Hamm as Superman.
John Hamm as Superman. I would love that.
Yeah.
Getting into Immortal Wonder Woman. So this one is by Becky Cloonan and Michael Conrad, with art by Jen Bartel. So Jen Bartel entering into the DC universe, pretty awesome. I don't think she's done art in a book, just a million covers, since that book Blackbird from Image. So it's pretty awesome to see her back on that. So this is actually Diana, and hasn't aged a bit. Since the events, and that actually brought me to how long is this into the future? Have they said that in any of these books?
Well, I mean, how old is Jonathan Kent in the main continuity? Because now he's like 20 in these.
Yeah, but does he age like regular people?
I mean, Superman did, Clark Kent did,
but not really.
What do you mean?
I mean, he ages to a certain point and then he kind of stops, right?
Well, then I guess it depends on which continuity you're reading, because like in Kingdom Come, he has the great temples, but he could live longer. But then in like All-Star Superman, he kind of looks the same until he dies.
Right.
I guess it sort of depends on like the artists. Like, I don't think that anyone would, just because you want your characters to look like adults, you want them to make it to adulthood and then they can look like they're 26 forever,
right?
Like if they're like, oh, you're getting a little older, oh, you drew them like they're 35, or whatever, you know. I mean, how, like, yeah, because we don't see Bruce or Clark, or, well, we see Supergirl, but Supergirl looks exactly the same.
Yeah, she looks exactly the same. And yeah, then
I don't think they'll ever draw her. Even if they want to depict her as a 100-year-old person, she'll still look like a 16-year-old.
The only hint I had, I also read Nightwing this week too, which I'll briefly talk about, but
Like, it's another Future State book?
Another Future State book, yeah. So Dick Grayson does, like, she draws him, Nicola Scott does draw him a little bit older. Like, he has, like, you know, some crow's feet, and he looks mm-hmm. a little more, you know, mature. Mm-hmm. But not that much, you know?
Right.
More so that he's just been fighting a lot. So, yeah. Doesn't really say. But anyways, back to Wonder Woman. So this one is pretty interesting. So it opens with Diana talking to the ghost of Bruce.
Okay.
In the Batcave. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So what I have to do in order to understand the continuity of these books is I just have to go like, okay, even though they keep bringing up Dark Knight's Death Metal, even though they keep talking about it,
yeah.
If I try to assign, oh, the events of that caused this to happen, but like Bruce Wayne has died like 20 times in that book, and there is no main Bruce, like,
yeah.
Anyway,
so he's definitely dead.
Okay. He's
definitely talking to his ghost for a while.
Okay.
And there's, yeah, it's very like, oh, I love you, Bruce, and I miss you, and you know, all of that. And then she takes his utility belt and straps it on her. And she's like, I'm going to take this piece of you with me. And then flies off. It's okay.
I guess that's kind of like the wimpy version of like when Captain America picks up Thor's hammer. It's like when Wonder Woman took Batman's utility belt.
Yeah. It was like, okay.
Now I can fly and use my lasso and I have a flashlight.
Yeah. it was, yeah, okay. So, but a lot of cool things happened in this book too. So this has a lot to do with Darkseid. So we go to Apocalypse, and Darkseid is like looking real sad on his throne, and he's just like, the fate of the world is over, and I'm really, you know, depressed about it. And then he realizes that he gets to go back to Earth, and maybe he gets to take over Earth again. So he's real, gets real jazzed about that. Cool. We get to see some Orion here, and Big Barda shows up. They don't want him to go, but he goes anyways. So he decides he's going to go take over Earth. We go jump back to Themyscira. Swamp Thing is there, and Swamp Thing is dying. And letting Diana know that if he dies, the entire Earth is going to die, because the green, you know, is all of Earth.
Right.
So, and he's letting her know that that a big evil is coming, Darkseid.
Right.
So it's kind of cool because we're finally learning like what the future state is going to be about, and it's going to be about Darkseid coming to destroy the world.
Yeah.
And the basics of this book is the Amazons are joining together to stop Darkseid and to save the green. And it gets pretty heavy from there. He comes to Earth, kills a bunch of Amazons, and Wonder Woman starts to fight him, and Swamp Thing starts dying, and then it kind of just ends from there. So pretty brutal.
It's always got to be Darkseid, huh?
Yeah.
Every major
there's also
everything.
Like an old, it's also a little confusing. There's an old Superman as well. Darkseid's fighting. There was no mention of him anywhere. I don't know if you have to read one of the other books that came out this week. There was like a Superman. I think it was like Superman of Tomorrow, or not Man of Tomorrow, but like Gods of Tomorrow, something like that. And there had a bunch of old Supermans on it. Maybe that ties into that. But yeah, like Superman's super, super old, and Darkseid's like destroying him as well. And like Wonder Woman, I guess, is the only one that can stop him. Maybe.
Oh.
So, no.
I like the idea of a Wonder Woman versus Darkseid.
Yeah.
She has as much reason to hate Darkseid as Superman does.
Yeah. Well, destroying the world is definitely a good reason to hate Darkseid. But isn't that what he always wants to do? He just always wants to eat. Like destroy the world. That's his thing.
Yeah, I don't know how often, if DC's even done this, but like stories where about Darkseid like going in, because he's the thing is conquest and anti-life, and the stories about him going to other inhabited planets. What about Darkseid and the forces of Apocalypse versus the Guardians of Oa? Or what about, I don't know, Mongul, you know, Darkseid versus Warworld, or Darkseid versus Brainiac, or the Dominators, or...
Right.
Oh, he did fight the Legion of Superheroes in the Great Darkness Saga, so they've done that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, but we have like that all these other characters on, you know, and all these other future state books, and aren't they concerned about Darkseid?
Yeah.
I mean, we have the Justice League and everyone else and Legion, and there's our Legion book that's coming out next week, I think. I feel like they would have something to say about that.
Yeah. they're doing a Legion Future State book?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Isn't every Legion book already a Legion Future State book?
You would think that. real quick, I'll just get into this Nightwing book, because I actually did really like this Nightwing book.
Sure.
Mostly because it just has a lot of Nicola Scott art with shirtless Nightwing, but...
Great.
or actually just naked Nightwing. It's the Beefcake Nightwing book. We'll just call it that. so, of course, Nightwing has taken over, you know, most of the Batcave stuff for Batman. And he is fighting that magistrate that they talked about in the first Next Batman book.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
So they brought that up again. He's working with Babs and I think Huntress as well, maybe. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they're just fighting that big, powerful magistrate. So that's basically what Nightwing's going to be about. He also meets the next Batman in this first issue.
Sure.
So they're going to start teaming up. They don't know who, he doesn't know who next Batman is. He makes sure to keep his secret identity safe. And yeah, that's basically the first Nightwing book. I liked it. It had really good art. Good storytelling. So maybe I'll stick with Nightwing for the first time ever.
Yeah, never been the Batman character with the most draw for me either.
Mm-mm. Should we take a quick break and then talk about WandaVision?
Yeah, let's take a quick break.
Okay.
And we're back.
You're back.
That was a break.
So if you don't want to spoil WandaVision, we have not watched the third episode yet. So we're not going to spoil
just
that.
Just the first two episodes.
Just the first two, which hopefully, I mean, you can watch those back to back. So hopefully you just watched that when they came out.
Right. Wait, is there only a third episode tonight? Is that the only?
Yeah, I think it's just the third.
Okay.
It was like Mandalorian, when Mandalorian came out, the first two came out and then, you know. Then it's just one episode from then on. Yeah. You don't remember?
Oh.
Yeah.
No.
No.
That was a while ago. Season two, not season one.
Mandalorian?
Yeah, season
two. Mandalorian came out, they released the first two episodes back to back. Or it was like, wasn't that right? Or maybe it was just an hour long. Yeah, that's what it was. It was an hour long episode. And then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now they're doing, with WandaVision, they're going to do a half hour episode every week.
Right.
Okay.
Yes. Because their episodes are so short.
Yeah. I'm stoked. Mm-hmm. I'm like real excited because this is like I'm, it's interesting because we were supposed to get Falcon Winter Soldier first.
Right.
And that would have been a much more like, we already know what this looks like. We've already seen movies like this. Much more like, this is the MCU, but on TV.
Yeah.
And then they were going to take a step further from that and do like, but now we're just going straight to this weirdness.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that that's really going to change the sort of expectations and what people want out of Marvel shows.
And did you like it?
Like, I really liked it.
Me too. I know a lot of people didn't. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But I thought it was great. I mean, it's definitely different.
The first episode, all the way up to, because the first episode didn't really have any like weird like what's going on. It was basically just a straight up 50 sitcom.
Yeah, until the end. It had a couple things. It had the commercial.
Sure, yeah.
And you know, it had like the Hydra thing in the commercial.
Oh, I thought it was a Stark thing.
They had two commercials.
Oh. So, in the first episode or in the second? In the first episode. And second.
In the first. Oh, okay. Well, I just both, remember the but two. Yeah, in the first episode. And then was the Hydra one in the second one?
I think the Hydra one was the second episode. Second one, yeah. Okay.
But yeah, in both of them, they did reveal stuff in both commercials. But and then obviously, and in the end of the first episode, the choking.
That was it. Right. Yeah. I was like, there was one weird thing that happened, but I couldn't quite remember what it was. And then at the end, when it pans out to the place with the notebook, and it's Sword, which has Sword been, I don't even remember if Sword's in the movies.
It's not. Yeah. That's definitely a first reveal. Okay. Yeah. Now I know what I really think they should have done is just made that first episode and the second episode, just one episode. I don't think they should have broken them apart at all. Though I think, you know, most people probably just watched them back to back.
Yeah, but I did. I
think they should have just joined them together, you know.
Well, I think that has more to do with the honoring the source material.
Yeah.
The sitcom. Like, yeah, I mean, they weren't 22 minutes. They were half an hour, but...
Right.
Yeah, but then it was a straight up, like, Bewitched, My Favorite Martian, I Dream of Jeannie, like, except instead of one magic weirdo, it's two. I thought that was like, oh my God. I don't know about you, I was genuinely laughing physically at the jokes.
Oh yeah, they were really funny. And they were playing it perfectly. I thought they were absolutely delightful, both of them. In the second episode, like when he chews the gum and he's being like really comedic and like...
The cartoon of the gum going inside him. Absolutely. That was so cool. It was
so good. And like in the animation they did, like even in the second episode when they had the opening and they have like the Bewitched like style credits. Like, that was perfect. And
I'm excited to see the new opening because they're probably going to change that every episode.
Yeah. And I was worried that like, especially like the younger generation, like wouldn't get it. And I think it's really
a good
cool
point.
But like, maybe they've never even seen like anything like that before, you know, because how often is Bewitched even on anymore? Like,
yeah, Nick at Night now shows like 90s shows.
Yeah, like TV Land, it's like what is that men's show? Like the what? Not home. Well, that's probably on it too. No, the Charlie Sheen show.
Oh, that's Two and a Half Men.
Two and a Half Men, the men's show. It's literally it's called the man show.
Yeah.
That's literally on like 24/7 on that channel. I just see ads when I'm watching like other TV for like Nick at Night, but it's like that, you know, like Nick at Night used to be Bewitched and Mary Tyler
Moore. I love Lucy and yeah.
Yeah. And now it's that for whatever reason. So.
I understand the fact that, you know, every young person loves the Marvel movies. And now they're putting something out that isn't as accepting for them. But my thought is, you know, fuck them, right? Like, come on. Yeah. Like, I think that if they don't enjoy this or don't appreciate it, I think it's too weird. I mean, it's shot perfectly. Like, I was, when I was living with my folks, my dad really got into... this show that he watched when he was younger called Our Miss Brooks, that's about like a secretary, and she's like, and you know, it was post I Love Lucy, but it was still like kind of novel to have a female lead in a sitcom. And it looks and moves exactly, it's shot like those shows, but still in high def, so it still feels modern, but like the way that the, I don't know, I was like blown away at the production, the like the attention to detail and all that. And like having them, someone pointed out that the fact that they're at the beginning of the second episode, they're sleeping in separate beds. But then she magics their beds together.
Yeah.
Which is a reference to the rate at which the shows are moving through time and how it's like, okay, this is the point in the show when they're not, when TV, when sitcom couples were allowed to sleep in the same bed.
Right.
I thought that was just rad as hell.
Sorry, my dog will not stop scratching at the door.
Oh, sure. Let the dog in.
The dog has to come in. And then walk on all the comics. Ziggy has joined the feed.
I really want to get a dog and name it That Sink. So every time they're pawing at the door, I could be like, let that sink in.
Nice joke. We also have to make a Buffy reference because who joins the second episode?
Oh my God, Anya!
So exciting!
It's so great. Like, she was one of the funnier actresses, one of the funnier performers on Buffy throughout the entire run.
Oh yeah.
And I'm like, great, they're giving her work. I'm just happy to see Emma Caulfield. She has a new last name now because I guess she got married. Yeah. Courtney Cox Arquette.
Right.
Honestly, I get that, like, taking, you know, some people like to, like, you took your husband's name.
Yeah.
But I think that if you already have, like, a long running television career, just like.
Yeah, don't do it. Yeah. It's going to happen to all your credits. How are you going to look them up on IMDb? It's going to be very good.
Yeah. And then, you know, Courtney Cox was Courtney Cox Arquette. And then she started Cougar Town as Courtney Cox Arquette, but then got a divorce and went back to being Courtney Cox. That's just like,
aw, they divorced now? That's too bad.
They've been divorced for like a decade. What are you talking about?
I don't know. I don't follow the Arquettes.
Yeah. Okay. I only know because I was looking up Cougar Town. I was like, wait, what happened to the Arquette?
Why were you looking up Cougar Town?
Because they were referencing on a Community, and I was going to see if it was actually a good show.
Okay, it's not.
Okay. I like Busy Phillips, and she's on that show. But
yeah, she's weird now.
She had her own talk show for a minute.
Yeah, weird now. Once you get your own talk show, it's over. Like a daytime talk show, something's gone wrong. Unless you're like
Drew Barrymore.
She's Drew Barrymore is a talk show?
Yeah, started like during lockdown. Her first episode was a Charlie's Angels reunion with Cameron Diaz and Lucy Liu.
It's online, isn't it? It's like an online thing.
No, it's on TV. And like, it's shot in a studio and everyone's sitting, it was totally supposed to be like Ellen or whatever. And I think she didn't want to do like Skype interviews, like Zoom interviews. So people are in studio, but they're sitting, it's like yelling. And they're like 20 yards away from each other. And like, I get it. I understand that's the safe thing to do. But like, there's got to be something we could, like, just shoot it so that they look close. I don't know.
Just do Zoom interviews.
Yeah. And then the second episode, and this is, I swear to God, this is all I know about the Drew Barrymore show. I'm not following it. I'm not watching it. But she had Tom Green on and they talked about their relationship.
Oh my God, I did hear about that. I did think it was just like an online thing though, not like a real show.
Yeah, I feel like had it come out 2 years ago, that it would be like a big hit and people would be talking about it and they'd be doing like bigger, crazier shit. But it just, you know, they got their shit together at the wrong time. And
did they make fun of it on SNL yet? Because
Because Chloe Fineman does that really good.
Yeah, she does that really good Drew Barrymore.
Chloe Fineman, who went to Berkeley High for a bit.
Yeah.
She graduated from high school from Piedmont High.
She's really fun, SNL.
She's so good. Her impressions are crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's rad to see.
Did she live here though? Like in SF? Was she a comic here?
No, I think she moved to LA New York or LA like immediately.
Okay.
Because, like, I think she was in the theater department. She was, like, a year or maybe 2 years ahead of me. And I knew a bunch of people. I have a bunch of friends at Piedmont High because I smoked a lot of weed. And
let's name drop people we knew at Piedmont High.
And people knew her. And everyone is like, you know how every high school theater department has, like, if anyone's going to make it, it's going to be this person.
Right.
And then, like, one out of 20 of them do.
Mm-hmm.
She was the one for her year, and then she's on SNL.
Like Chloe Fineman,
Yeah.
Most likely to make it to SNL. And she did.
And she did, yeah.
Good for her.
I want to go through my yearbook and see, like, I wonder if they made it.
I don't want
to. No? Okay.
That sounds like a terrible thing to do.
Yeah.
You don't have it's to only do one person. You just go on Facebook.
That's true. But I have to go into yearbook to find out who won, because that's not on Facebook.
Oh, yeah. Gross.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, WandaVision.
And WandaVision, yeah, I think it's going to be, I think it'll, it's, I think right now I read something that, like, it's the highest rated Marvel cinematic property on Rotten Tomatoes.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, I mean, Avengers has its, people are has bored. Its critics.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd say that probably, I mean, what's the best Marvel movie? This is a real question. What's the best Marvel movie?
That's so hard. I don't know. I really love Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah. I think that, like, the one that I could watch the most, stripping it, like, because the thing is, the further these get along in a timeline, the harder, the less accessible they are.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that the first Captain America movie is one of the just better movies.
I think, well, Winter Soldier, I think, too. I was going to, that's my next in line, I would say.
All three caps are great. All three caps are, like, across the board, the Captain America trilogy is the strongest trilogy. As much as we love Thor Ragnarok, the first Thor was pretty good, and the second Thor was bad.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That's why I just pretend they don't exist, really, and just go straight to Thor Ragnarok.
Straight to Ragnarok, yeah.
Straight.
But you need the other one. And Thor the Dark World, I have rewatched it. And it's better than I remember, but it's still not good.
Yeah, it's not great.
Yeah, no. The ending fight where they're falling through the holes and going to the, that was rad. Took too long to get there.
Definitely.
But yeah, WandaVision. Well, I mean, we don't need, everyone who listens to the show has already watched it.
Sure. They're definitely going to have their own opinions on it and all of the little Easter eggs that popped up in it as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But can I give you my big theory? This is my big, like,
what is
prediction?
Your theory?
And it's not like this is where the show is going. This is just a guess for something that will happen before the first season is over.
Okay.
Quicksilver shows up.
He's got to show up, right?
That's a prediction. Well, I mean, does he have to?
Well, okay. So I think that she's obviously creating all of this, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe she's going to recreate Quicksilver as well? Because he's dead, right?
He's dead. Yeah,
there's the other Quicksilver from the other Marvel universe.
Evan Peters?
Yeah. So, and they own Evan Peters now.
Yeah, but they're not going to bring in...
Why not?
Because that's not the one who's in Age of Ultron. Did you watch the Legends show they put on Disney Plus that, like, sort of recap the individual stories of Scarlet Witch and Vision?
Uh-uh.
Oh, okay. They're like these 7 or 8 minute long, just like, here's what, because they know that people don't, like, if you want to know everything that's happened to them, you have to watch Age of Ultron, the worst Avengers movie, and Civil War, and Infinity War, and I guess there's some Scarlet Witch character advancement in Endgame.
Right.
So to, like, make it so that people don't have to go back and do that, they put up these two little things on Disney Plus a week before the show dropped, so like 2 weeks ago.
To catch you up.
Yeah, just like, here's everything we know about Scarlet Witch in the MCU in 7 minutes. Here's everything about Vision in the MCU in 7 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not narrated or anything, it's just they just made a big montage.
Okay.
Of like, here, this is him being made by Ultron, this is him getting the Infinity Stone, this is him dying, all that, yeah.
Yeah, and they did the same
no
thing.
No spoilers for the show or anything. Yeah. And then they showed Quicksilver, because of course Quicksilver is inexorably tied to her in that first movie.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't explain where her accent goes.
Well, she can create her own accent at any time.
I guess. I understand her not having her accent in WandaVision, but, like, you know, man, when I watched Civil War and or maybe it was Spider-Man Homecoming, and Peter Parker had a Queen's accent, I was like, fuck yeah. And then he just decided not to anymore.
Yeah, it was too hard.
You know, it's those little touches.
Mm-hmm.
And if they hadn't done it at all, I wouldn't have minded. I still would have liked Peter Parker just as much. But the fact that they did it and then stopped doing it is like, ugh.
I still think that Evan Peters, just bring him in. And then they can be X-Men or they can be mutants. We'll just be like, Magneto's their father. But it's actually the Whizzer.
But then now they're Inhumans. Like, yeah.
But maybe they're not.
Yeah. Didn't they said in Age of Ultron, I think Strucker gave them their powers, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what they said. So let's cancel all that out, though.
He was underserved. He was underutilized. He's too good of a character to just be like a villain at the beginning of a movie who then disappears.
Yeah, I think they'll bring that back.
Yeah.
Well, they're also confirming a Secret Invasion show as well now.
Great.
Yeah, so that's happening. They're teasing it with Nick Fury and Talos. So we'll get some more Sam Jackson action.
That's great, man. Look, yeah. There's some people where I'm just like, all I want you to do is work, because did you like Sam Jackson has been in a lot of shitty movies.
Yeah.
And I think that if Marvel keeps paying him, that he will make fewer shitty movies.
I hope so. And they will definitely keep paying him.
Oh my God, he's the most every time they put him in a Marvel movie, he's the most entertaining part. So, give him his own show.
Yeah. And
in space, on Earth, whatever.
And then obviously, WandaVision setting up the whole Doctor Strange. What is it? Madness of what is it? Doctor Strange.
Oh yeah, and the Multiverse of Madness.
Multiverse of Madness. Yeah.
Sam fucking Raimi.
I know.
Oh my God.
Please. And finally, Doctor Strange and Scarlet Witch together too. So, which
yeah,
could always be
although a thing. Okay, I did some. So her powers in the MCU are like telekinesis, telepathy, basically.
Yeah, well, more than that though.
But they haven't shown her doing more than that, unless we're talking WandaVision, where they're showing her do all this reality manipulation, time manipulation, whatever. But yeah. Because this is a world that she's creating in her head or something, then it's sort of the rules are different.
I don't think it's in her head. I think it's like she's building a world.
But at the end of the second episode, they were like, Wanda, who did this to you?
Right. Yeah.
So, or who's doing this to you? And so that's what makes me think. And the fact that someone is observing what's going on in her head, right? Because they're taking notes.
That's true.
Maybe this is because I just watched. Did you watch Maniac on Netflix?
I watched the first like six episodes and then I just fell off of it.
Yo, I totally get it.
Yeah.
We finished it. Yeah, I feel like they could have shaved a few episodes off of that thing. It did not have to be as long as it was.
Mm-mm. I really liked it at first, but I just couldn't stick with it. I just got bored.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, lastly, there is going to be a new Superman show on CW. I know we really stick with
right.
the CW shows. No, we don't. Okay. But a new Superman and Lois show, which is kind of exciting.
Yeah.
So this is still the guy who's been on, what's his name? Somewhere on here. He's on Supergirl. Tyler Hoechlin, that's his name. Yeah, he used to be on that werewolf show I used to like. Yeah, Teen Wolf.
Oh, sure.
I liked that show.
Oh, yes. My God. I thought I recognized him. I never watched Teen Wolf, but.
Yeah. He was like the big werewolf on that show.
Right.
Big
werewolf on campus.
It wasn't a bad show. Yeah, big werewolf on campus, exactly. apparently, there's also going to be Jonathan Kent on this show, too. So he's going to have a son?
Wow. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, him and Lois are going to get down at some point. And finally. Jordan Kent? Are they going to have two sons? Jordan Kent and Jonathan Kent. Maybe they're
going to Jonathan Kent is also the name. It's also Clark Kent's dad.
Oh, no. This looks like a kid, though. Oh, maybe it's going to be Jonathan Kent.
Jordan Kent.
No, it says Jonathan Kent eventually becomes Superboy. He's gonna be their kid.
Okay, man, I was hoping that we'd get a Connor Kent live action depiction,
Jonathan, but Daniel I guess
that'll never happen. And not if they're giving Superman.
And then
a real
Jordan
son.
Kent is Jonathan's mother. Yeah, they're going to have two kids on this show.
Oh, maybe one of them has Jordan Kryptonian Kent powers and the other one doesn't.
Oh, he's going to be jealous.
Yeah. Maybe. That's drama.
It is drama. And then obviously Lois.
That I think that's a great idea. I think that'd be fucking great. Because they even did a imaginary story about that where
they
Superman
did
and Lois.
An imaginary story about that, yeah. And the other, when it's where like one's putting up the Christmas trees, putting up the decorations on the tree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other one is just like crying that he doesn't have powers, which, hey, legit.
So yeah, this actually looks fun. I'll watch a couple episodes and see how it is.
Yeah, you can tell me what happens.
Yeah, I'll let you know. I hate his suit though. Why can't he just wear a normal Superman suit? Like the old school Christopher Reeve suit. Why does it have to be rubber?
Yeah, but like, does it look good in HD? This is a real question.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Oh, the regular suit you mean?
Like the regular suit, yeah. I feel like
yeah. I watched Superman recently. It looked great.
One time. But that wasn't shot in HD.
Oh yeah, that's true.
So, like, I was looking through one of those oversized Alex Ross comics, you know, when they were doing those large format ones. Yeah. And he did probably his most realistic painting of The Flash. And I'm like, oh, it's pajamas. Like, when you're taking these ideas of these costumes and you're making them look super real, like, that's why The Flash now, like, is covered in lightning and scales and crap.
Yeah,
Because if they just put him in like, or even the 90s one,
right,
that ran up against the Simpsons, looked like sleek and all leathery and everything. Because if they make it look like it's made of fabric, then it'll just look like some guy knitted in his garage.
It's true. I don't know.
Spider-Man should look like that.
Yeah, well, the Spider-Man looks great though, and he has a spandex suit.
Well, now it's a Tony Stark suit.
Yeah, but it's still spandexy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just hate he has like a leathery cape and it's like attached with like these two leather, I don't know, clasps. And it just, I don't know, it looks bizarre. He also has a really skinny neck. The new Superman, yeah. The Lois. Yeah. Lois
and Lane. I mean, God, casting Superman must be the biggest pain in the ass.
It's gotta suck real bad.
Because I mean, so many other fictional characters, like, we don't really know what Sherlock Holmes looked like. We don't really know what Treasure Island, Long John Silver.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, you could sort of... I just saw a depiction where he was played by Arthur Darvill from Doctor Who, and he was great. He looked completely different than any other Long John Silver I'd ever seen in anything, and he was great.
Sure.
But Superman, like, nah, we want Superman to look exactly like the Max Fleischer shorts.
Right. Yeah, he's got to have a big chin. Square jaw, you know. Yeah. Gotta have
squinty for some reason.
Yeah, always squinting.
You know what? Get like, or why does Superman have to be white? This is a real point.
Mm-hmm.
You know who really does look like Superman?
Yeah.
John Stanton from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Who?
I don't remember the name of the actor, but he played Josh Chan.
Oh, yeah. But he's very short.
Yeah, you're right.
Gotta have a baby.
Well, you know, so is Tom Cruise. Let's stop pretending that Tom Cruise isn't 5'1". Everybody knows it. They refuse to make a movie about it.
He just stands on a box.
Yeah, that's true. He was married to Nicole Kidman, who is my height almost.
Yeah, she's
And they shot around it. They figured it out. They knew how to make it not look like he was friggin' Vern Troyer over here.
Are you watching anything else? Any recommendations for the week before we go?
Yes.
Okay.
The Wilds on Amazon is one of the best shows I've seen in a long time. It's so, so good. You would super dig it.
Okay.
Honestly. It's 95% of the dialogue is spoken by female characters.
Ooh, nice.
It's about these high school girls, 16 through 18, who get stuck on a desert island. And it sounds hokey and silly, but every episode sort of talks about each one's like backstory, kind of like Lost or Orange is the New Black or whatever. They all have completely different motivations. They all have their own individual traumas. They all have their own reasons for going on. They were supposed to be going on a retreat but then the plane crashes, to like this women's seminar in Hawaii. And yeah, it's, and it's like, not like sci-fi, but it is like weird in its own way. Yeah, it's really, really good. The main character is from Berkeley. They don't really talk about it. But like they do reference it. Annoyingly, they refer to like living in the Bay. And at one point during one of her flashbacks, someone's like, "Oh, we're gonna go check out this thing in Oakland." And I was like, "Yay!" like I was at the beginning of Black Panther. Just anytime anyone says Oakland in a movie or a TV show, I'm just like, "Yay, yay!"
Don't ever do that again.
Okay, only on the podcast. But it is really, really good. Annie and I were watching one episode a night, and then we watched two, and then we watched three. It's just like, it's...
Yeah, you're just a
it's dick. It's so fucking... And unlike a lot of those shows, where there's like lots of questions, they answer the questions at roughly the same rate that they introduce new ones. So it's continually satisfying.
Oh, that's good.
While still leaving stuff up in the air. We just finished it. It's already been renewed for a second season.
Nice.
It's fucking good.
Okay, I'll check it out.
Yeah. Everybody watch The Wilds and tweet at me about it, at Jacob S. Rubin. I don't know anyone else who's watched this show. Do you know how weird that is?
That is
to
weird.
Watch a show and genuinely know no. I'm going to have to start posting on the subreddit like a weirdo.
I've watched Rich Lady shows recently, which is Big Little Lies. And then I got super addicted to that and then had to immediately watch The Undoing after I bombed through Big Little Lies, which is also done by the same guy.
Okay, is it also HBO?
It's also HBO, yeah. And then cool. I started watching Your Honor, which is rich white guy show.
The new Bryan Cranston show.
Yeah, the new Bryan Cranston show, which is also really, really good. Yeah.
Okay.
Really good. They're all like kind of the same. It's like rich people crime show.
Sure.
But they're all very, very good.
Where is Your Honor? Where can I?
Your Honor's on Showtime.
Showtime, okay.
Yeah. So, but yeah, The Undoing, I think I watched in 2 days. Like I watched all of it in 2 days. It was really good. It's like he is so good at like ending an episode and then just like hooking you on that very last scene where you're like, I have to know what happens. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So very, very, very good. So I do need a new show. So I will check out The Wilds.
It's fucking great. You're going to start the first episode and there's a scene where they're all like sort of introducing themselves on the plane. And you're going to be like, I already know everything about these characters. I already know everything about these. I don't need to, but then like, no dude, it's great.
I also have another podcast recommendation too.
Yes.
Not really for comics, but for crime stuff as well. It's called That's Messed Up, the SVU podcast.
Nice.
It's pretty amazing. Also hosted by two lady comedians, and it's hilarious. And they just started like a few weeks ago. And it's for everyone else who also watched like 450 episodes of SVU like me.
Sure.
So check that out. Pretty awesome. And I think that's
nice.
Cool. Yeah.
Grad.
Cool. All right, guys. Nice.
Thanks for listening to Escapist Comics Podcast. What's your Twitter?
Oh, at Jessa Baldoni.
Nice.
Yep.
And yeah, is the store open?
Yeah, store's open. Okay. Yeah. Cool. We are open, just the same, four people in the store. Love that. Wear your mask. Be safe.
Wash your hands.
Sanitize
on your way in.
Yeah. And that's it.
Cool.
Also, hockey season has started. Go Sharks.
Yay.
It's on right now.
Well, hockey season's like 10 months long, right?
Yeah, but it was super short. Now there's only like 52 games this season.
Oh, so. Okay.
Yeah.
COVID.
Yeah, COVID. COVID hockey.
That's one of the few sports where they're actually covering. Oh, no, I guess they don't cover the goalie covers their face. Goalie wears a mask.
Yeah, and it's not, it's also not very, just goes right through. COVID just goes right through that mask.
Right. Got holes
yeah.
Yeah. But that's a sport where they could totally wear COVID masks and be able to play effectively. It might even help their teeth a bit, right?
What? Let's, you know, just puck would go right through that mask.
That's true.
They would need like a shield.
Yeah.
Shield. That would work.
They all wear the goalie mask. How come only the goalie gets that protection? The rest of them are just flying out, you know.
Well,
no seat
in ladies hockey, they make them wear masks. Yeah. Because they're sexist. Can't mess up those lady faces. They got to stay pretty, you know.
There's going to be one woman in lady hockey. It has a better name than lady hockey, right? Is it like WNHL?
It's called women's hockey, yes.
Okay.
I just call it ladies hockey when I'm talking about their face masks to keep them pretty.
Right. The LHL.
The ladies hockey league. We don't even use sticks.
So it's soccer.
Yeah, it's we just figure skate around the ice.
Right.
Yeah, I actually very much support women's hockey. I just think it's stupid that they don't have the same rules. I said I very much support women's hockey. I just think it's stupid they don't have the same rules.
Yeah, well, doesn't the WNBA have different rules too?
Probably, I don't know. I'm sure. They definitely don't have to wear masks, though.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm not an anti-masker. This is about
God.
Wear a mask.
We've taken a turn. Thank you guys so much for listening to the Escapist Comic Podcast. I'm Jacob Rubin.
Jessica Balboni.
And we'll see you next time. Bye.